Amen. Just taught about that in the book of Revelation, the end of chapter 5. And praise the Lord, that's exciting. I like it. We are on Revelation 6 in our Sunday school class. And lesson number 17. It's been a little over 2 years, and we're just now there. Isn't that exciting? Amen. And it's really getting exciting. So praise the Lord. I was excited about that, and then I was excited about the choir special, about the blood, and just talked about that as well. That's the one subject that most religions don't even want to talk about anymore. It's just not popular. But I got news for you. That's who we're going to worship when we get to heaven. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and that shed His blood. Praise the Lord for the blood. But that's not what I'm preaching about today, but I'm sure excited about it. Here in Matthew chapter 21, we have actually the title right in verse 28, Go Work Today. Go Work Today. That is the title of the message. And again, in honor of the celebration of Labor Day. Most people don't even think much about it. It's kind of funny. It's Labor Day, and it's about work. It's about giving tribute to the workers in America. And on Labor Day, it seems like we'd work more. But actually, we get the day off, or a lot of people do. So Go Work Today is the title of the message. Father, bless the preaching. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the spirit. Thank you for everyone here. Help us to realize it's not an accident that we're gathered here today, that we're here on purpose, that you have a purpose, and please speak to our hearts today and show us what you want us to do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, when I was little, I didn't like that word very much because my dad used to talk about having to go to work. I remember a lot of times, Dad had to work on Saturdays, and we liked it when Dad was off. He would usually grill steak on the grill, or maybe hamburgers or something like that. And many times, it took him away from me, and especially on Saturdays, I always hated to hear him say, "Well, I got to go to work in the morning." And you know, most of us, you hear people say, "Well, you know, it's a work is a four letter word, you know, and all this kind of stuff." And by the way, what is a four letter word that you hate to hear your dentist say? Anybody know? Oops, that's it. Very good. Thank you, Tim, for being so intelligent. But anyway, really work shouldn't be a bad word. In our country today, there are many folks that think it's a bad thing, but it's really a good thing. And there are many folks that are away from it. They don't do it. And some of that is because we have a government that enables them to just get by without working. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But the thing is about work that you'll find out, and I learned this as I was, even though I wanted my dad to be home, and even though I hated it that very early in the morning he went to work, and very early and sometimes late in the day he got home from work, I found out that without it, we wouldn't have had a home. I found out that without it, we wouldn't have all the food that we had. I found out that without it, we wouldn't have the clothing that we wore, and we wouldn't have the things that we had. And I watched my dad. I've given illustrations about Dad, and no matter how bad the weather, I mean, he went into work. I remember sometimes 4 a.m, Dad was out shoveling our driveway so he could get out. And I would say, "Dad, surely it's bad enough that they'll cancel work." He said, "Son, they don't cancel work. Work always has to be done." And he's shoveling the driveway 4 a.m. And so I grew up working. I'm 14 years old. I detasseled corn. When I got a little bit older, I did phone soliciting. I mean, I've done every kind of job, every kind of terrible job, I would think. I worked at a gas station when I was younger. I'm talking about a real gas station, not where you just sit and get the money. I'm talking about we pumped the gas, we washed the windows, we washed the headlights. We had the squirt bottle. I remember many, many days squirting the stuff on, and sometimes we put too much water in the mix, and I'd squirt it on. It was so cold it would freeze over the windshield, and that's work. I'm telling you, but I worked at a gas station, worked many different kinds of jobs, and most of you have. By the way, because of that work, I've owned vehicles, I've owned homes, and been able to do those kinds of things. Why? Because of work. I mean, it doesn't just come. It doesn't just happen. The American dream is not somebody's going to give you all this. The American dream is you get a job, you can work, and you can have things. But it takes work. It always has taken work. Here is the context of a farm. And I don't know if anybody works harder than farmers. I don't know if anybody that has to, you know, you talk about faith. Farming requires a lot of faith. You can't make it rain. Now you can buy irrigation and all of that, and we see some of those things. But that water has to come from somewhere. Amen. I mean, you cannot make it be what it ought to be. You can't do that. And so certainly it takes a lot of faith. But here we have a farm. We have a vineyard that needs to be taken care of. And I just want to talk to you about this little passage of Scripture. By the way, turn to 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. And this is the problem in our country today. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. And you know this verse, and it's a familiar verse. The Bible says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you." Okay, this isn't just a suggestion. It's not something just makes sense. He says that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Amen. I mean, this. Listen to me now. This was commanded to God's people. If you don't work, you don't eat. By the way, if you don't eat, after a while, you work. There ought to be more amens than that. I mean, come on, we're working people. Well, you know, I'm enjoying. Well, listen to me. If you don't work, you don't eat. And we want to eat. And we like to eat. And we enjoy food. Amen. And back in the old days, and when this country was birthed, and as this country grew, people had to work, and they knew they had to work. And if they didn't work, they didn't eat. But here's the problem today. This welfare mentality, all right? Food stamp mentality. And again, I'm not saying there aren't situations where that's not warranted. I'm just saying this. It's a mentality, but it's come into the church. You say, really? You mean as far as eating? No, I'm talking about working for God. We want all the blessings. We want all the things to happen, but we don't want to work for it. And it's going to take work. It still takes work. In 2012, if something is going to happen, it's not just going to happen. It never did just happen. Pentecost wasn't just what just happened. People prayed. People wept. People worked. And it happened. But it's never going to happen without work. And it never has. And so God says, here's a little story in here, and I realize there is a context of the story here that I probably won't get into totally today, but about the two sons, and one said yes and didn't work, and the other said no, but he did after he got right with God and he repented. But we'll talk about that. But the point is, look, if you want something, work. That's how it happens, okay? If you want something, you got to work. You got to work for it. It's always been that way, and it's going to be that way in church too. We have a welfare mentality that somehow, we're expecting. Okay, we have a lot of seats empty here, and we prayed that God would fill them. God says, if you pray to me, I'm telling you, work. Amen. It's not a matter of, oh God, dump them in. It doesn't work that way. It's, oh God, bless us as we go out and we bring them in. I mean, we sing the song, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. We don't sing, dump them in, dump them in. You know, God wants us to go get them. It takes work. Handing out tracts, inviting people to church, being on fire for God, doing right. All of that is part of the work that God talks about here. Go work today. Number one, we see the employer. The employer. Here the Bible says it was a certain man, and he had two sons. But he was a certain man, and since he had two sons, that would make him a father. Very good. Boy, I'll tell you, there's some folks that are sharp. I mean, they really are, even with the ham and egg and cheese smell. They're still sharp. Amen. All right. By the way, if you act intelligent, we get out a lot quicker. Honestly. Oh, we're in trouble. But this certain man had two sons, and therefore he's a father. And the Bible does say a little bit later on, it says in verse 31, whether of them twain did the will of his father. And I think it could be talking here, and the idea we could get is the father, our father. And our Father, and we're His sons, we'll talk about that in a minute, but our Father says, I want you to go work today. I've got work for you to do today. And you know, it reminds me of my Father and how He taught me I had to work. And I remember just as a little child. Now, I'll be honest with you, my sister and I were spoiled pretty much, but we did learn how to work. Well, I did. I don't know if she ever did. But anyway, now I'm going to get in trouble. But I remember Dad telling me, back before weed eaters. I know some of you kids can't believe it. By the way, there was a day before cell phones. I know you can't imagine. But before weed eaters were ever invented, we just got down on our knees and we pulled the grass. How many of you used to do that? You know what I'm talking about. Oh, there's a lot of people. How many of you had little hand clippers? All right, we finally did get hand clippers, but I remember many times literally going around the house and pulling the grass on around the edge where the mower wouldn't get it. And you just get in there and you just pull the grass. And you walk, you go all the way around the house, you go around the trees, and you pull the grass around there. And then finally, Dad got clippers. Boy, that was exciting. That was so neat for about 5 minutes. You know, work never has just been fun. I mean, it's just not supposed to be. It's just work. And I remember learning, you know, Dad would say, "Hey, you got weeds out there. You got to pull the grass around the house. You got to do this." And I'll never forget when I got old enough to mow. Oh, I was so excited about mowing. Dad had a tractor. And I was so excited about that thing. And I don't remember what age I was. But Dad said, son, he said, "You know what? You have graduated. You now are going to be able to run that mower." And I remember the first time he put me on the mower, and he said, "Now, I don't want you to try to do it the way I do it, but you just mow." And I remember zigzagging all over the place, and I mean, I went everywhere, you know, and it was the first time, and I was so excited to be on that mower. I thought that was the greatest thing in all the world. Well, then he told me I had to mow in lines, you know, and you had to get it straight and all that, and it wasn't quite as fun. You know, it's amazing how it became less and less fun. It really is. But thank God that I learned how to work. But I remember the first time I mowed straight, and I remember the first time that it actually looked like somebody mowed right. And my dad was out there watching me. And he stood on the porch and he's watching me out there mowing. And I was so proud that I knew he was proud of me doing the work. You know, our Heavenly Father wants to see us work. He's watching us. He's watching us, and sometimes it's like a young boy the first time he gets on the mower. We get into the work of God, and we're so excited, but it's amazing how kind of like that mowing is not as fun anymore. Remember the first time you used a weed eater? You know, boy, that was exciting. I mean, especially if you did it on your hands and knees for years, and you pulled grass around the house or used those clippers and your hand got tired, and that first time you put you hit your siding and cut it up and no. But anyway, boy, that's a neat thing. And you got in there, and weeds are flying everywhere, boy, all kinds of green stuff's flying up in your face, and you're saying, "Man, I'm a man." And you love that, huh? And then it gets old. But you know what? It never gets old in the eyes of the Father. It never gets old when He sees His workmanship working. Remember the first time you taught a Sunday school class? First time you drove a bus? The first time you helped clean the church? The first time you served in the nursery? The first time when you actually were in the Father's work? How exciting that was! And then it just kind of gets old. It kind of gets boring. But I'll tell you what, if you think about that work is, I'm pleasing my Father, my employer. You know, it's interesting. I'm using employer and employee and employment in my message because that's what it is. When the Bible says, occupy till I come, that word is occupation. And it comes from set up a business, go into business. And we see that example over and over in the Scripture too. You know, it means work. It just means God says, I kept you here because I have something for you to do. And that something is work. It's a work that is my will, and it is what I want you to do. The employer is the Father. My employer is my Father, my Heavenly Father. Number two is the employee. The Bible says he's a son here. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard. Son, go work today." He's a son. Look at John chapter 1, verse 12. John 1, verse 12. The Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." That is the one of the greatest names of a Christian. Son. Son? Son. Boy, what a blessing. Who's it for? It's for those of us who have believed, the Bible says, on His name. It's those of us who have received Him as our Savior. He gave power to become His son. Oh, glory to God. His son. And He has every right as a father to say, "Son, go to work." I don't remember as a son ever saying to my father, "Dad, go to work." No, it was always, "Son." Amen. "Son, go to work. Go work today. Son, mow the grass. Son, pick up the sticks. Son, go work." Amen. What a blessing to be a son. What a blessing to be a child of God. What a blessing to be a child of the King. And so many of us, we rejoice in that, "I'm a child of the King." But we don't ever think about the fact that He says, "Son, son, there's something for you to do. Son, I have a job for you to do." We don't even think about that. We always think about the throne. And praise God for the throne. But have you ever thought about the one sitting on the throne? Father. Son, I have work for you to do. Son, go work today. By the way, it doesn't say anything about this son. It doesn't say if they're young or old or whatever. It just says, "Son." "Well, I'm really not qualified to do anything." No, you if you're a son, you're qualified. I tried to pull that on my dad too. Ignorance is bliss, except when it's a dad talking to a son, and the son, "I don't know how to do it." "Good, I'll show you." Didn't you ever try that with your dad? Of course, we thought it was cool. The tractor. We thought it was the clippers. "Oh man, this is really something." "Yeah. I'm just not qualified." "Are you a son?" "You're qualified." There's work to do, folks. There's work to do. Doesn't say whether he's young, whether he's old. Doesn't matter whether he's experienced or qualified. It just says son. Doesn't say how many years experience being a son. Just says son. Are you saved today? If you're saved, understand this. God has something for you to do. Now that is such a wonderful truth. But it's sad because we get in this welfare. Well, He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. So do you understand where that mentality? There are some folks, they don't have any idea who's doing it. Just so it just keeps coming in. As long as I get my little card. Now, I'm not getting on people that have those, okay? Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying there is a mentality that they don't. When you say, "Well, I helped pay for that," they look at you like, "No, you didn't. The government did." Stay with me now, okay? Don't get mad. Huh? Isn't that true? "Well, yeah, I helped you with that meal that you just had." Come on. Maybe you've never said it. But you're thinking it as you see the cart go by and there's meat in there that you can't afford. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, you know. Oh, don't be so pious. "Well, I don't want to be a hater." It has nothing to do with hate. It has everything to do with truth and good Bible principles here, because here's what happens. We've got a mentality. We don't even know where it comes from. You understand? There's folks getting and getting and getting. They don't understand. It's our taxes. That's where it's come. You can't just print money. That's why we're trillions of dollars in debt. Because somebody had the idea, maybe you can print money. No, no, it doesn't work that way. Where does it come from? Okay, and so we get, it's kind of like why it's so quiet in here, like somebody sucked the wind out of here. You're going to hurt somebody. I'm not hurting anybody's feelings. I'm trying to tell the truth about our country, but more important, about our churches today. Because we get a mentality that, well, it'll happen. Yeah, it'll come from somewhere. Or we get mad and just blame anything and everything. No, it boils down to four letters. W-O-R-K. That's what it boils down to. It's always been that way. It's not any kind of a gimmick, a scheme. It doesn't take a whole lot of brains to figure it out. It's just good old-fashioned. I'm a son, and I am responsible to work. I am a child of the king, but the king has a kingdom, and I'm part of it, and I need to work in it. Son, go work today. Amen. Amen. Notice this son, he was his son before he ever worked. Remember when you first got saved, you were so excited. Yeah. Amen. He didn't have to work in order to be saved. He became a son. And then the father said, now there's work to do. Come on. You rejoicing in your salvation today? Are you glad you're going to heaven? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Huh? I mean, have you been saved? Have you been born again? Then praise God, you're his child. He's your father. He has every right to say, son. Son. Got some work to do here. And we should rejoice. We're sons. There's work to do. Now, one son here, he said, verse 29, he answered and said, I will not. One son, I mean, he looked at the father, I will not. You ever been there? Yeah. Yeah, some of you are there right now. I will not. Not me. He can do it. He can do it. Not me. But then somebody preached a message and you got on the altar and said, oh God, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that to you. I need to. And he, the Bible says he repented and he went. And he did the work. And he came to the second, verse 30, and said, likewise. He said, what did he say? Likewise. He said, son, go work today. And the Bible says he answered and said, I go, sir. And went not. There's a whole bunch of folks like that. A whole bunch of teenagers over the summer. I go, sir! And they go not. I'll do it! And they don't. And a whole bunch of parents, a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of church members. I go! 20 years ago you said I go. And you haven't gone yet. 30 years ago, you said, I'll do it, and you haven't done it yet. What are you waiting on? I know how it goes. But wait a minute, the one thing that's true all the way through that is, son, father, still true. If you're saved, he's your father. If you're saved, you're his son. And if you're saved, he's still saying, that job still needs done. You surrendered to be a bus driver, never got your CDL. Well, it was hard, get your CDL. Surrender to be a bus captain. Well, it takes work. Yeah, it does. But that's how things get done. Son, go work. Well, I said I would, but I didn't. I said I wouldn't, but I did after repenting. So many talk it. Very few are doing it. This is for every saved person. The employer is God, the Father. The employee is saved, son. Number three is the employment. It's just work. It's not a popular subject. It's not popular even in independent fundamental Baptist church. It's amazing. You start talking about welfare, and you start talking about food stamps, and all of a sudden, it's like the air is sucked out of the room. He can't say that. He can say that. He will say that. He will keep saying that. And why? Because it's Bible principle. It's truth from the Word of God. If a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. Somebody comes, they say, "Hey, Pastor Rogers, we heard about your church, and we're really excited about your church, but I was just wondering, could you help me out with some money for some things?" And I say, "You know what? You may have heard about our church, but here's one thing that we require. If you're gonna get some help with some things, then I've got some work that you can do." Now, I don't always have work they can do, but sometimes there is. It's amazing how they'll go to the next church. Happens all the time. In fact, we're starting to get a reputation. "Oh, you're the ones that make us work." Amen. I know. I got to quit beating the dead horse. Amen. Boy, we're in trouble. There used to be a day, this would be a shouting kind of meeting right here. I mean, seriously, but it's like, I wonder who's listening. They might get me for hate speech. You hate people that don't work. Phooey. Phooey, phooey, phooey. I told you about the guy one time, gave him $25 to get gas and put food in his belly and had him mow the yard. We had a self-propelled mower. And the guy was out there, literally, he could not keep up with the self-propelled mower. He held it back. The wheels spun. Anyway. I'm not against the guy. I'm just saying you got to learn how to work. Number three, the employment. I already said that. That's where we got hung up here. Hey, he's not saying go feel good. He's not saying go speak in tongues. He's not saying go study theology. He's not saying go to church and sit and soak. The secret is not in talent. The secret is in the work. Amen? It's work. It's not eloquence. It's work. It's not pretty. It's work. It's not facilities. It's work. It's like a fella has a brand new $75,000 tractor. Don't know if you can buy one for $75,000. I haven't bought a tractor in a long time, but I'm talking about a big tractor. And he has this brand new $75,000 to $100,000 tractor, and he never takes it out of the building. And God has children all across this world that are saved, born again, bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and he ought to be able to say to him, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And it's like they're just like that tractor, just sitting in a building, just doing nothing. Now, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just saying, we are his workmanship. James 1:22, real quick. I'm getting way ahead of myself, getting around myself and everything else. But praise God, I'm going to tell you the truth. James 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." We deceive ourselves when we come up with all kinds of reasons why, well, there's empty seats here, and there's not my Sunday school class isn't very full, and blah, 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 blah. The truth is, folks don't want to work, and yet without it, nothing happens. God made us to work. You know, verses we love, Ephesians 2. Look at it, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. We'll quote it over and over and over and over and over and over. "Oh, I get such blessed assurance." No, you're sitting on your blessed assurance. You need to get busy and do what these verses say. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And we want to stop there. And we don't want to read the next verse. But it says this, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." And he says, "Son, I want you to do those good works. I've got work for you to do." Amen. And he made us to work. We are created to work. We are created to work physically. We are created to work for God. It's our purpose. No wonder so many are miserable. No wonder so many turn to, "Oh, here we go again. Oh, well, I'm already not popular." That's why we turn to Facebook for all our time. I don't have Facebook time. Why? Because I'm working. That's why. I'm not saying it's bad. Don't you dare. Just quote. I don't care what you say. To be honest with you, it's a waste of so much time that you could be busy doing something for God. But instead, we'll get on. Well, did you see all the empty pews? Fill them! There's people out there. Go get them. Bring them. Glory to God. It's work. So, well, you preach it. Well, it's Labor Day, so I need an excuse. People are miserable. You know why? Because we're not fulfilling our purpose. It's like a fish that doesn't swim. You ever see them? They look like this. I mean, it's just how it is. Huh? It's like a bird that doesn't fly. You know? I mean, it's like a dog that doesn't bark. It's like a... I'm not even going to say cat. I'm mad at a couple cats. But anyway, look, God made us to work. And we get so upset. We're conservatives, and you're not showing it today like you should be because I think you're scared that the place is bugged. Thank you. I think some folks are afraid that they're watching us. They probably are. Google probably has figured out how to get right in here. Amen. I don't care. Let them. I don't have anything to hide. But it's almost like we're upset about welfare, but the truth of the matter is, welfare Christianity is killing us. It really is. Hey, I ask you today, what are you doing for God? I thank God for some of our ladies, they grade the papers from the Abundant Pardon Prison Ministry. Praise God. Somebody's got to do that. And that's work. And that's serving God. And it's a great thing. There's so many things that can be done. What are you doing for God? What are you doing for God? Huh? Hey, do you think that somehow we could apply 2 Thessalonians 3:10? If you don't work, neither should you eat. Huh? Could we apply that spiritually? Of course we could. And it is applied. Because people who don't work, they are the first ones to say, well, I'm not getting fed. Do you know the harder I work, the hungrier I get? Amen. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Yeah, well, you know, the harder I work, the more I want to eat. And the harder I work spiritually, the more I want to eat. And if I'm just sitting around like a sloth, I don't know where that came from. Anyway, but if I'm just sitting around doing nothing, you can try to feed me stuff all day long. And it's kind of like, I don't know if I like that. If I'm hungry, I'll eat anything. Except turnips. Employment. It's just work. Jesus said this, John 9, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, I don't know, you know, we have all kinds of ages here. We have 102 and all the way down to some children. I mean, we have all kinds of ages here. The night cometh when no man can. That time comes. Do you understand? It will come. I'll never forget the fella. He was in his 50s, and he said, you know, God called me to preach years ago. I went to Bible college, and I never preached. I said, well, you're in your 50s. And I said, you still can. He said, oh, no, my time's up. I can't. And I said, yeah, but you could. And he said, yeah, I know I could. Maybe I will. And then he got in his 60s, same thing. Then he died. Never did do what he believed God wanted him to do. I don't think everybody should be a preacher. I don't think everybody's called to pray. I know that. I understand that. But folks can get involved in the work. Amen. Number four, the emphasis. What's the emphasis on here? Well, I think it's, son, go work today. Why? Because the time's coming when no man can work. The time will come. Do you understand when the rapture takes place? We're going to have a wonderful time. It's going to be great. Christians, I mean, it is going to be so wonderful. We're talking about it in Revelation. And we may not get ham and eggs, but bless God, we're getting some good stuff out of the Word. And that's all that keeps me going, because that sure does smell good. But the point is, you know, honestly, the rapture is going to take place. Do you realize? Then my work's done. Or when I take my last breath, my work's done. It's over. Today, that's the emphasis. Son, Go work today. You say, well, I used to. But God says, today's still today. Amen. You say, well, I will. No, today is now. The I wills are all over this building. The I wills are what I'm waiting on. Yeah, I know, I'm waiting on. What's your name? My name's I'm waiting on. My name's I will. My name's I used to. No, today. Today. There's something you can do now. I thank God for our teenagers. Some of our teenagers work. I mean, they are working machines. You see them at Vacation Bible School, the Fair Ministry. I mean, it's, by the way, you know, well, you know, summer's over. Now we can take a break. There's no time to take a break. There's work. Amen. There's still things going on. Missions conference coming up. And many mission groups, they're working hard, getting more and more money. And Kathy's like a slave driver, you know. Work, 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 money for missions. You know, she's fired up and all of that. And why? Because it's day. Amen. Child can work. Adults can work. Elderly folks can work. Why? Because it doesn't matter. Are you a son or not? Do you understand? Jonah lost 3 days. He lost 3 days. You ever think how many died? The whole city got saved. But I wonder how many died in the 3 days. I wonder how many left town in those 3 days. How many were lost because Jonah didn't work for 3 days? I'll hear somebody in college, well, I just can't wait till I graduate. I'm going to get busy. Why aren't you busy now? Amen. People say, can't wait till summer. Then it's can't wait till winter. Hello. You know, well, I can't wait till next week. No, today. Don't be a has-been. Don't be a gonna-do. Be a today. There's work now to do. Plan to do something till you die or till the rapture comes and get busy and do it. You know? So I said, preacher, you know, have you thought about retirement? Not very often. Can't even imagine. There's just too much to do. There is just too much to do. What can I do now? Now. 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 The emphasis. The emphasis. Just about done. Number one, I talk about the employer. That's the father. Number two, the employee. That's the son. Number three, the employment. Go to work. Number four, the emphasis. It's today. Number five is the emplacement. And that is in my vineyard, he said. In my vineyard. It's his vineyard. Father says, this is my vineyard. My vineyard. I want you to work it. I'm not telling you to go work over in the neighbor's vineyard. It's my vineyard. God says, my vineyard. That's his vineyard. What is his? Well, you know what? As we look at it spiritually, it's the independent fundamental Baptist church. It's the church that he purchased with his own blood that he loves. Go work in my vineyard. In my vineyard. Through my church. Get involved through your church. Get involved in the ministries of your church. Soul winning, bus ministry, teaching, cleaning, you name it. There's work. Always work to be done. Building, battling, programs. You come. And you come and the thing is, we all need to get involved in the work. Amen. Everybody. Why? You know, it's his vineyard. I think it's amazing that God, you know, do you understand God could do anything? God could take care of the nursery back there. He could. God could clean these buildings. Could you imagine? I mean, God, just after every service, God just speaks and says, be clean. It's all clean. Sparkling. God could paint everything. The outside of the building needs painted. Okay? God could just do it. He could just speak. Tomorrow morning we come and it's all done. Wouldn't that be something? All light bulbs could be changed. God could do that. Wouldn't have to change them, just make them work. Can you imagine? I mean, think about that. Any updating, you know? I get so frustrated. Folks, well, I'm getting sick and tired of seeing that. Do something about it. I'm amazed how many people will walk by a piece of trash out in the parking lot. Oh, I can't believe kids throw that stuff down. I just can't believe nobody getting them walk by it.
Hello.
I'm just saying there's so many things that we can do. It's His vineyard. He could do it, but we do it. God could make all our buses go without drivers. It'd be hard to explain that to the police. But, amen. The truth of the matter is, we're somebody said, well, the Fundamental Baptist Church, the Independent Baptist Church, churches like this one, they're just not very appealing anymore. You know why? Because we have that word. Work. I don't want you to just come sit and soak. Honestly, it's just very foreign. You know, well, I just want to come and I just need to recuperate. All right. You got couple days, and then it's work. It isn't very appealing. I'll be honest with you. We're not about feeling good. Never have been. Huh? Yeah, you want to come and get a spiritual massage. Oh, yeah, a little higher. Ah, yeah. And then the preacher gets up and says, hey, folks, we got to work. I know. Well, we'd get a lot of people in if we just leave them alone, not talk about all this kind of stuff. It's not about that. It's about if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. And you know what? You'll never, never get a grasp on this book till you really are hungry for it. And the way you get hungry for it is to get busy and work. Work. We have this idea, well, you know, I'm doing right. At least I'm doing right. Yeah, that's the least you're doing. Well, you know, I don't smoke. So if Brother Tim comes to me and says, Pastor, I need a raise because I don't smoke, think I ought to give him that? You think I should, Amanda? All right. I don't have any change. So, boy, you're awful nice. So Patty Cook comes to me and says, hey, you know, I don't watch dirty movies. You know, so you think I ought to give her a raise because she doesn't watch dirty movies? The question is, are you getting the work done? That's always going to be the question. Think your boss, just because you had one day where you didn't gossip, or a week, or whatever. And you think your boss, no, what are they looking at? They're looking at work. What'd you do? What'd you do? You know, it's joy to work in His vineyard. It's a joy to see the fruit. It's a joy to watch what God does. It's a joy to watch how God transforms a life. It's a joy. So many have missed out on that joy because you got away from the work. I hope you get back in the work. There's so much. What a blessing. We were at Hammond. I had a pastor's meeting on Thursday, and we were there Wednesday night. And all of a sudden, somebody said, Pastor Rogers. And a girl came up and, a woman. And I had been her pastor years ago. She's like in her 30s. She was one of our bus kids that went to our Christian school and worked a job and worked several jobs so she could go to Bible college. She went to Bible college, graduated, and married a young man. And now they are serving the Lord together. And this was one of those deals where everybody told her, you can't do it. She said, I will do it. And she worked and worked and worked, and she did it. And it just made me think, boy, what a blessing to hear her telling her story and to realize she was one of those. I said, hey, you know what? You're just going to have to work hard. And if you work hard, it's going to pay off. Folks, it always will pay off. It's joy. It's a blessing to work in the Lord's vineyard today, but it's going to be a greater blessing tomorrow. So many. You said, I will, but you didn't. I will. Oh, yeah, I will, but you haven't. Well, here's what I'm going to do, but you're not. It's time to go work today in my vineyard. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Hey, today, are you a son? Have you been saved? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? How many would say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Anyone? Pray for me. pray for me. How many Christians would say, preacher, I'm a Christian, but God has spoken to my heart today about something in my life. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. Slip it up. Slip it up. Thank you. Thank you. From the back to the front, several folks. Thank you so much. Anyone else, pray for me as a Christian. God's spoken to my heart. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, bless the invitation. Have your will in our lives. Working people are always happier people. We're tired at the end of the day. We need to talk to you. We need to come to you. We need your strength. But I've always found that's the best Christian too. We're certainly hungry when it's time to eat. We're certainly hungry for the Word of God. And we're always happy when you fill us. Lord, I pray you'll help us all to get busy in the work. Bless the invitation now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.